Glad to see everyone back with us here this evening. We'll be taking your Bible and turning with me to the book of Philemon. Philemon is referred to by many the greatest piece of writing ever put on paper. Even unbelievers have seen the genius of this little story about which we are going to read in just a moment. This short letter is one of the greatest examples of redemption and reconciliation in the entire Bible. Focusing on Onesimus is the general approach before this lesson. Philemon is going to be our approach tonight. Philemon didn't do wrong to Onesimus. Rather, Onesimus had wronged and violated his obligation to Philemon. You might be a 21st century Philemon as we go through this passage. We'll begin reading with me in verse 1. Let's read the story of Onesimus. Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Apphia and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own vows, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Howbeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Ye brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wouldst also do more than I say. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. There salute thee, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. So we have this letter to Philemon, Paul telling the story of Onesimus coming unto him, and him preaching the gospel to Onesimus, Onesimus finally obeying the gospel, and now he's sending Onesimus back to Philemon. And it seems, as we read verses 11 and 18 there, that Onesimus had apparently, it seems, stolen property from Philemon and had run away. And this caused Philemon in more than one way. Not only had he lost the worth of a good slave, but he had also been robbed of personal property. Now, friends, all of us, I'm sure, have been done wrong by someone we trusted. Unfortunate though it is, but true nonetheless. Turn over to Matthew chapter 18. Let's keep a finger here in Philemon. Let's turn to Matthew very quickly. Matthew 18 and verse 7. Jesus Christ speaking here says, "Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh." We'll read much the same in Luke 17 and verse 1. But we've all been wronged by someone we trusted. We've all had something done unto us. But when we're wronged, friends, we must know how to react. The Christ himself pronounced a woe upon the man that committed the offense. But friends, if we were to act as the world teaches, then we are jeopardizing our testimony. The testimony of Jesus Christ. Testimony of our Christianity. If we were to act, however, as the Bible teaches, then friends, we glorify God and point men to a Savior who can make a difference in the lives of men. Notice with me what Paul asks now. Notice verse 12. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels. Receive, it means to take to oneself, to take by the hand, to grant access to one's heart. Literally, Paul is calling upon Philemon here to totally forgive and be reconciled to Onesimus. He was to receive him wholeheartedly, to grant access, take him by the hand, take him to himself, to totally forgive him. Now think about that day and time. When Onesimus has run away, he's losing a valuable slave. He's losing work. Note Philemon's predicament here. If he was forgiving with little discipline, other slaves might feel that they too could get off lightly. If Philemon, on the other hand, pronounced severe consequences, he would compromise Christian principles. Now, what does Paul say? What are the steps that Paul says to take responsibility for any financial burden on Philemon? Put it on my account, he says, verses 18 and 19. I will repay it. Now, friends, others will do us wrong. There's no doubt about it. It's going to happen. But do we have the ability to forgive them? Are we not commanded to do just that? Friends, Jesus is our example in such cases. Paul refers to such cases in Ephesians 31, or 4 rather, 31 and 32. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Friends, we are commanded to forgive. We talked a little bit about that in a Bible class hour this morning. What does it mean to forgive? Friends, when a person asks for forgiveness, forgive. Plain and simple. It's not our place to question motives. It's not our place to question whether or not the person is sincere. We're simply called upon as Christians to forgive. Their sincerity and their motives are between them and God. Now, friends, love toward God and our fellow man is illustrated when we forgive others even as we are forgiven. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. Look with me at verse 39. Speaking of the commands, question has been asked in verse 36, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Verse 39, the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Friends, do we love those around us enough to forgive when called upon to forgive? When we are asked to forgive, do we love them enough to do just that? Isn't it time? Maybe that we let go of the past. Isn't it time that we extend love and forgiveness over bitterness? That's what Paul is calling upon Philemon to do. To forgive whatever it is that Onesimus has done and welcome him home. Not as a slave, but as a brother. Notice now verses 15 and 16 once more. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant. A brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. You see, Onesimus had run away as a sinner and a slave. He returned unto Philemon, a saint and a brother. And Paul said that he should be treated like a brother. Now let's put ourselves in Philemon's shoes. Here's a person that has stolen from me personally. Maybe sold it and used whatever money that he gained from it. But then he returns, not having the wherewithal to repay me, but asking for forgiveness and asking to be received as a brother in Christ. How would we react? Would he be welcomed as a brother? Or might we get on the phone and call the police and say, "This is the man that robbed me"? How are we called upon to react? Friends, if we're truly going to be as Philemon was called upon to be, we'll forgive. We'll receive him as a brother. If we cannot receive other sinful people, how can we, knowing that we sin, expect to be received? Christ died for all. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And friends, you and I, are we not included in the all? Has it never maybe crossed our minds that we might be forgiven as we forgive? Think about that for a moment. What if God forgave like me? Might we be in some trouble? You see, Jesus accepted all. Regardless of what they had done to him or others, he accepted them. Welcomed them into his arms. Do you remember the prodigal song we sang this morning? In Luke chapter 15, the lost son. Where do we find the father? He's looking, waiting. And when he sees his son returning, friends, he doesn't stand still any longer. He runs to him. Falls upon his neck. Welcomes him home. That's a picture of God with the lost sinner. Welcoming one home. Friends, why should our standard be stricter than the Savior's standard? Notice now verse 17. If thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself. Our final question is here, do you love like Jesus? Or even Paul? Philemon loved the faithful brethren with little effort. Notice verse 5. Hearing of thy love and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints. He loved the brethren with little effort. How much more difficult it was to extend the same love to Onesimus. Knowing this man had run away. Knowing this man may have taken something from him. How difficult would it be to forgive and treat him as a brother? Friends, we need to study to pass the test of our faith. We should strive to love as Jesus loved. Notice with me 1 John, beginning in chapter 2. I want us to notice several verses here that John gives us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 10. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Now look at chapter 3 and verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 14, we know that we have passed from death into life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verses 17 and 18, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Chapter 4 and verse 7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Verses 20 and 21, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Friends, if we have love for Christ, if we are going to love like Jesus, friends, we need to have love for the saints. And friends, we know by looking at the example of Christ, we must have love for all men. Christ loved, God loved this world enough to go to the cross for the remission of my sins, for your sins. Do we love like Jesus? And friends, in order to be the kind of person that Christ died for, we must be more accepting, more forgiving, more loving. So some questions from Philemon. Is it within you to forgive? Are you willing to accept others? And do you love like Christ? Hope these are some lessons that we can apply to our own lives. Maybe some things that we need to change. Be more forgiving. Be more accepting, be more loving. Let's put away our Bibles, take out our songbooks, ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Or is there anyone in our midst, maybe individually, that has done you wrong? Is the urge for revenge stronger than the urge to forgive? Friends, if you answered yes, how do you think God received your worship today? You're kidding yourself if you think less damage is being done to yourself than to the brother. And friends, in order to receive forgiveness, we must learn to extend it. Why not remove that burden of stubbornness right now? Why not forgive and embrace? Friends, are you here tonight having never been forgiven of your sin? That is, of being immersed in water for the remission of them. You see, it is through baptism that we come in contact with the blood of Christ. And it is only by His blood that we can be washed of our sin. Have you done those things? Have you been baptized? Friends, the answer to that question is no. Why not? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God? The answer to that question is yes. Are you willing to repent of your sin? Confess His name before men. Friends, if you're willing to do those, then there's nothing to hinder you from being baptized. Would you do so tonight? Are you here this evening having done those things but fallen away? No longer faithful to the Lord? Would you be faithful once more? Would you come home? Friends, if you have a need, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?